I'm thinking a little bit this week. About, flexibility of the Orthodox world. Rigidity of the Orthodox world, flexibility of the Orthodox world. How much could we, should we be flexible? Can we be flexible? Halachic system. Should we, could we, are we, et cetera, et cetera. No one's going to say, let's change Shabbos until Sunday. No one's going to say, let's start making, let's abolish the laws of Tefillin. That's far beyond the scope of Orthodoxy. Far, far, far beyond it. And everyone will argue that, almost everyone will argue, everyone who I know and respect would argue that, when Poskim decide what the Pesach is, the different people that take into account things beyond what the Sfarim said. So the Sablovsky came last year, so when asked, he was asking, how do you pass the Shabbat? He said, you gotta know three things. You gotta know the Halakha, you gotta know the Pesach, you gotta know the person you're passing it for, and the third thing is the significant factor. There are certain people out there who you want to rely more on a hetzer for, there's certain situations that you want to rely less on a hetzer for. The halachic system itself, on one hand, has to be extremely rigid, has to be extremely, it is extremely rigid, it's extremely flexible, but where that's coming from. For starters, it has to be extreme rigidity in the halachic system. Not just so that we keep it properly and respected, but if you start becoming overly flexible, if you start becoming, making exceptions, who is this divinity? If at the end of the day, you know, we change the halachic system to fit what we believe, so why would any future generation keep what we believe? With me, in other words, one of the reasons why we think halacha is so valuable is because we believe that the system, although it's supposed to come and go, but the system itself has really been the same since as far back as we go. If you go back 500 years again, they may have been keeping a different Shabbos on a practical level, but the system itself looked pretty similar, almost if not parallel. Again, new posts can come up, a new Shabbos come up, and the system itself has room for this type of thing, but it's the same system. Once you start changing that, once you start undermining that, so it's no longer anything that goes back generation to generation to generation and should continue going on to generation to generation to generation. It becomes a tier two form of Western culture. Meaning, if you really value Western culture, just serve the Western culture guy. Once you're subscribing to the halachic system, so like, why bother doing it halfway? I remember I was talking to someone who, you know, was claiming we should just get rid of a few of these like halachic stuff, like amalek and stuff like that. And I hear where he's coming from. Well, look, it's very troubling. It's a grapple. It's not easy to come to terms with. It's a difficult halacha to identify. However, once you start saying stuff like, well, let's get rid of that, essentially what you're doing is my Western culture values override my halachic values. Once that becomes the case, there's no good reason why you should have any halachic values at all. What the only value halacha has is we believe it's the divine system, it's what Hashem wants in our life. There's a certain rigidity, a certain inflexibility that makes it divine, makes it from God. Part of it we shouldn't even understand because we'd understand everything in the indefinite time it's from there. But there's a certain rigidity, a certain flexibility, a certain necessity to remain rigid, to remain complete, that we should keep the laws the way they are, because otherwise it's just man's replacement of God's system. If that's the case, man will just fully accept Western culture, which is man's replacement of God's system. The Western culture itself is kind of funny, because 50 years ago, even 25 years ago, it was totally different. The 80s versus today is a different culture, the 60s for sure, and the 1920s. And 50 years from now, they'll be looking back at the Western culture we so much respect and be laughing at it, saying they are so primitive. The same way we look back at the 1980s and say they were so conservative. They were so, you know, the 1970s, 1960s, they were not progressive thinkers. We look back to 1800s, blacks and women couldn't vote. That's progressive. That's open-minded. I'm not saying, you know, we're right. We're glad they can vote. It's a good thing. No, we can't even deny that. But they themselves, when the founding fathers started America, they were talking about how progressive they were with religious freedom and, you know, compared to Europe. And it looked bad. It's, you know, 50 years from now, I don't know what culture is going to be. I don't know what society is going to be. They're going to be looking back at the culture we so much ascribe to. And laughing, you know, the only reason why halacha can survive is because it's meta, all these things, it's above all these things. It's metacultural. Meaning, it exists because we value this type. We value this, we're sensitive towards maintaining halacha in the most pure sense. On the other hand, if Torah and halacha were strictly rigid, there'd be no room for chinuch. There'd be no room for psak based upon different people. There'd be no room for people to really get into learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, wanted us to be able to ask kashas and give terutzim to make an hour. I've asked this in the past. Why would a perfect God write a perfect book and give it to an imperfect man to interpret? Not to answer that. It's a great question. If God wasn't commentary on Chumash, he should have wrote it himself. As great as Rashi was, and he was great. As great as the Ramban was, we have an Ezra and the Sfarno and the Rashbam and all the other Chachmei HaMesorah. Can you imagine what a parish would look at if a Rosh Baruch Hu, B'chavod V'Atmo wrote this type of parish? How can it not be infinitely greater? The answer, I believe, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a conscious effort to enable us to make a kinyan on Torah, to be kodesh Torah, to make Torah hours, to ask kashas and give terutzim, to think for ourselves, even at the expense of objective truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do that completely, otherwise you'd have a full Western culture religion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here at Yud Gimel Mitzvah Torah, take him and work with them. Take Rabbi Shmuel's 13 rules of learning. And you may disagree, and I'm open to that. As long as you're working within the system, I'm okay with that. And that's the Gemara about the end of them test that the you know the what's it called the what's that other called
there's
a machlokas in Rebbe Lezer and Chachamim as to whether or not a certain an oven is kosher or requires some blanket under the stove
after
in any event, and Rebbe Lezer says if I'm right. Then the river should flow upward, and the river starts flowing upward, and the flow away by how the weather did that. They said, you might know this, that, at the end of the day, we don't care. We don't have to like flowing rivers. And or that's enough. And or that's enough. And then Rebbe Lezer said, if I'm right, the carrot tree should start, you know, prove it, and the carrot tree kind of jumps around. I don't know how much it jumps, like 400 and how much, like 700 and I'm like, trying to figure out behind that half focus. Okay. And then the Gemara says, we don't follow these carob trees. Then the Gemara says, okay, maybe the proof of the base measure, the Medrash walls start shaking, and we don't proof on the but they, you know, but the Medrash walls shaking, and they pray to make it stop or something. And then the Lord says, if I'm right, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Bath should come out and have a Bath call right now with lo and behold, and the Spad Hashem says, here's my Bath call. The Allah said, no, the Chum said, yeah, we don't care. After Rabbi Mahatos. God, you and the Lord are the minority. Whether it's one or two, it's still a minority. And it's shocking at first glance that anyone can say to God, what do you know about Torah? For two levels. Two reasons. Number one, he wrote Torah. Number two, he's God. And let alone, Achrei Rav Lahavdil, Torah Lo Bashmaimi, God, you gave it to us. It's our job to deal with it. And by the way, there are all sorts of midrashim talking about how the angels are crying, I'm supposed to screw up the Torah. They'll interpret it wrong, they won't keep it, they'll this, they'll that, Hashem can do it nonetheless. And the Gemara, by the way, back to the Gemara, Bava Tzia concludes that Rabbi Nassim is walking away and Bava Tzia Eliyahu and Navi, which in his own right is pretty cool, and worthy of explanation. And he asks Eliyahu and Navi, what was Hashem's reaction when this event took place, when Hashem was lost to the road, to the majority, passing it correctly by Tanakh Achanai, and Rabbi Nassim is fine. Hashem was smiling up in Shemayim saying, "Nitzachtem manai, my children have defeated me with proud." And the question is not only how did the Chazal kind of miss the whole point of the story, but how did God himself do it? The answer is at a different point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was consciously willing to allow the truth of Halach be passing in the wrong way because he gave us principles on how to work with the system. And as long as we're working with the system, Acharei Rav Lahatos, then Torah is Lo Bashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah to build it into who we are, to inculcate it into our blood, into our kishkas. And if he would not have given us the ability to ask questions and to develop our own answers, to think, to analyze, to challenge assumptions, to create, we would just memorize like robots. It would never penetrate deep into our hearts. The reason why people, quote unquote, get into learning is because they feel they have the power to become part of it, to make a contribution, to understand at a new level, to make a kibush on something. That's why we chaz on Thursday, to make a kibush, to make a kingdom on which you did all week long, to make conquest. It's the greatest feeling in the world. When we finished that ritzvah on Tuesday night at 1 o'clock in the morning, after 2 hours of struggle, like, guess what? I have a handle on that ritzvah. Guys walked through that huge toast on Davav yesterday. Totally overwhelmed. You walked out of state, you walked out of share. I have a good handle on this toast. I feel like I'm getting opinion on it. I feel like it's mine. I understand all the points. I asked all the questions I had. I came up with satisfactory answers to all the, and if not, I at least knew what that cash would work. And if you don't give people the ability to do that on by themselves, to pasquet themselves, to ask questions on Chumash, on Gemara, to think for themselves, so it never becomes part of it. And therefore, there's this tension, there's this balance that's required of, on one hand, flexibility and room for error and room for human touch and room for man to make a kinyan on Torah, while simultaneously and paradoxically, for that matter, rigidity and inflexibility towards the human contribution outside of the halachic system. It requires a tremendous amount of appreciation of thought that went into the system, a tremendous appreciation of the value of creative thought, of man's input, of kashas and terutz and the tachachim and the Torah give as well as that we give, as well as a tremendous appreciation of the soul. At the end of the day, we don't just disagree with Rabbi Akiva. At the end of the day, we don't say there are 43 malachas opposed to 39. There are 28 malachas. I don't like Borer. It's not a real malach. At the end of the day, you read Pshat and Chumash. You have a different mahal than Chazal. That's called Pshat, not Rash, and the halachic system. You follow what Chazal says. The truth is, maybe really you're right. Maybe you had the correct Pshat, and Akiva was wrong. Unlikely, but possible. Theoretically, hypothetically possible. The answer is we don't care. You want to know why? Because this is how the halachic system has to work with Hashem gave. It could be as a new creative mahalach. We don't follow this because that's how the system has to work. The system has to have a certain form like that. That's one of the understandings when you read the Gadol. That the Tanoim had a more significant role. The Amoraim had a very significant role, one step less than the Tanoim. Without the Tanoim, you know what Torah would look like? They sculpted the framework, the basic sculpture. They molded it of Torah. Acharonim now are arguing, is this an example of the way that we're shown in Manasseh the Amoraim's categories of the Tanoim and creation? They're trying to figure out the details. Is this Borer or not? Who said Borer was awesome? That's the Torah, but the Amoraim's perspective. Again, it's the Torah. There's a very strong appreciation of the Chachmi HaMasorah, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, respect for them, care for them, love for them, commitment to what they say, which is essential for religion to last. And the best proof is in the pudding. You look around at Jewish communities which have not appreciated the value of rigidity properly, and you see where they are 3 or 4 generations from now, the assimilation rate in the Western world is unbelievably high. And it comes from the fact that why should I listen to anything you have to say if you yourself are telling me you made it up yourself or you changed it yourself? Why should I not marry a guy if religion itself is man-made? And there are forms of Judaism, I don't know if it's the official reform movement, but definitely a form, I don't believe in Hashem, but Har Shamayim. What's the value of Judaism? Why would you do anything? And the best proof that most people would is that, because the commitment rate, because the assimilation rate, because it is the marriage rate. The only reason why we are willing to commit our lives to lives of Torah, of halacha, of shmir, is because we believe This is objectively right. Because who wanted that? And therefore, you can't just go around changing things because it loses its objective correctness. However, if it would be rigid to the point where man has no say, we want to take part. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his brilliance, developed a system which, on one hand, is enough his that we can't that we can't steer off too far, and it's enough ours that together, b'shutfus, as a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we create hope. If the Rabbi would have never lived, Torah would look different. The Rambam was a shutif in creating Torah, development of Torah. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's the reason why Talmud Torah is Kenegi Kulam, because all the other mitzvahs we do with a much less creative nature. It's the reason why Torah is the spine and backbone, according to definitely the Litvish world and a lot of the Chachmei HaMesorah, the spine and backbone to commitment to Torah mitzvahs. The frumkeit as a whole, and it's one of the reasons why somehow you learn all day long and translate into religious growth. Why do people come and learn yeshiva all day long? Why do chesed all day long? Why do chesed all people all day long? Why do kibbutz all day long? Those are great things. But in the formative years in your life, Talmud Torah is a unique place. Because you're able to define a sense of self, a sense of individuality, to think and to ask and to question, to find answers, as well as a strong connection to the Messiah and the rigidity that religion offers. It's the best way, Talmud Torah is the best way of rooting yourself deep into what you believe in the government, the Ashkaf, the Torah. And Mirza Hashem, years from now, when you're out working and doing Kiruv, or making a Parnasa, or teaching, or being a garbage man, whatever you decide to do with your life, the roots you build now are hopefully either going to last or last to the point where you can continue to build new roots when needed. And Talmud Torah's Kenegi Kulam has a tremendous power to allow yourself to plant yourself comfortably in the Mesorah, comfortably in the system, or find your own creative niche there.